Verve Records has just released Charlie Parker with Strings, a new compilation CD of Parker's most popular albums. These recordings were originally made in 1949 and 1950. The new CD got commentator Gerald Early thinking about Parker and his music.
In the end, he had no private life, wrote Ralph Ellison about saxophonist Charlie Parker, and his most tragic moments were drained of human significance. Parker is surely a monumental figure in the history of African-American culture and in the history of American popular music. The prodigious jazz man who emerged from the badlands of the American Middle West and whose life was as dissipated as his playing was brilliant. He lived fast and died young and played, for about 10 years, the most superb jazz ever heard. This month marks the 40th anniversary of his bizarre and unseemly death, and now Verve Records has released all the master takes of Charlie Parker with Strings, not only Parker's favorite album, but the most popular he ever made. I heard Charlie Parker for the first time when I was 13 or 14 and just beginning to listen to jazz seriously. The tune I heard was a corny ditty called Old Folks, which has recently been revived by several jazz musicians including Keith Jarrett, Steve Coon, and Gene Harris. The Parker recording included a vocal chorus, oboe, bassoon, clarinet, and French horn. It was, for a number of measures, one of the most wretched pieces of music I had ever heard.
For he's so diplomatic and so democratic, we always let him have his way.
When Parker finally entered, I was startled. He did not simply play well. He transformed the music entirely, lifted it to such exquisite proportions that I was moved beyond all telling. I had never heard a soloist outside of classical music play an instrument so daringly and with such keen eloquence. Why, I thought to myself at the time, would such a great musician want to play in such a setting? I wondered the same as I listened to Charlie Parker with Strings, recordings I have heard dozens of times. I continue to be amazed and bemused by Parker's astonishing playing in a deadly unimaginative setting that would cripple most soloists. When I was either 17 or 18, I spent a period of about 8 weeks listening to nothing but recordings of Charlie Parker and Jimi Hendrix while reading and rereading Ralph Ellison's Invisible Man. It was at this time that I vaguely thought about becoming a writer, and the music of these two men inspired me in different ways to achieve that end. It was a time of wool gathering, but also a time of woodshedding or learning what it took to master a craft. I was struck, even at the time, with how similar both Parker and Hendrix were. Both were incredible soloists who completely transcended their musical surroundings. Both died young, both seemed to be at creative dead ends at the times of their deaths, both were known for riotous living. None of this seemed as important, however, as what both taught me about the tragic nature of a certain type of African-American genius. What stunned me about both men was not simply the impact of their innovations, but the intensity of their discipline. I was daunted by the immensity of their achievement, but inspired by the fact it could be done by sheer will. Parker could play in those wretched string settings because nothing challenged him more than the possibilities of his own genius at work. But I was warned by their wasteful deaths to be shrewder, more clever, for to be black must be to have the ability, like Melville's Ishmael, to survive and tell the tale. And I learned about the wondrous reinvention of the ordinary. Whenever I hear Parker with Strings, I think of Hendrick's line, "You will never hear surf music again."
Gerald Early teaches at Washington University in St. Louis. His latest collection of essays, The Culture of Bruising, recently won a National Book Critics Circle Award.